You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you. I think one of the more popular older gospel songs is kind of an invitation song, and we enjoy doing it here at the Rec Room once in a while. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching.
Tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. If you'd like to turn there and don't have a Bible, you've got a problem. So if you'd like to have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we'll see that you get one. Matthew chapter 26. Got one back here. We got some Bible folks, one over here. If you'd like to have a Bible to follow us, anybody else need a Bible? Got one down here, I think. And let me say this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible here with you, we would like for you to have that one as a Rec Room's gift to you. Just take it with you. Use it. Read it. I think it's funny, and not ha-ha funny, but odd funny, that people say, well, I don't understand the Bible, and my comment on that is you wouldn't understand the daily paper if you didn't read it. And the problem with us is we don't read the Bible, and you probably ought to get kind of hooked up in that because you're going to be judged by it. So it might be a good thing if you knew what the judgment was going to be. Just like most of you know what the law is, be good to know what God's rules and God's law are. Matthew chapter 26, I want to talk tonight about somebody that came oh so close. Doesn't make any difference about you start sometime, because a good beginning doesn't necessarily guarantee a good end. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, said, then one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. He's getting ready to make a deal to betray Jesus Christ. What'll you give me? We ask that a lot of times. We get a job. What are you going to pay me? What's in it for me? What do I get? He said, what do you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know how much money that'd be today. Wouldn't be much. Wasn't much then. 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Skip now with me down to verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, and that was Jesus talking, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Then go to the next chapter, chapter 27, verse 1, said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they'd bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, to governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See out of that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas Iscariot is probably one of the most despicable people in the Bible. Up until the time we just read about, Judas was a common name, like John or James or Bill or Henry. Jesus Christ himself even had a brother named Judas. But from that time forth, you never hear of anybody naming their son Judas. In fact, there's a Judas goat. It's the name of goats that they use to lead animals to slaughter. And that's the name they've attached to him. You can look it up. The Judas goat. He betrays the animals. He gets their confidence and then leads them into the slaughter. Now, let's find out something about this guy, this Judas Iscariot. And first time he's mentioned in the New Testament in the Bible is when Jesus chooses 12 apostles out of his disciples. And one of them, back in Matthew chapter 10, was Judas Iscariot. And at that time, Jesus knew that he would betray him. Judas evidently had a good personality. Judas evidently was good with people. Judas evidently had a good reputation. He must have had a good testimony. He was a person that you wouldn't think was weak in anything. He looked good on the outside and was one of the 12. He got to be as close to Jesus Christ as any person on earth ever got to be. He walked with him. He saw him when he woke up. He saw him when he was hungry. He saw him when he was tired. He saw him when he was angry. He saw him at the worst of times, at the best of times, day in, day out, 3.5 years. He's around Jesus Christ and knows him as well as Peter, James, or John. People trusted. In fact, the disciples made him treasurer. He carried the money for the apostles. He had the bag with the money in it. He was trusted by them. If you go back and look at the very first verse of Matthew chapter 10, and in fact, let's do that while we're in Matthew. We'll come back to chapter 27 in a minute. But just look in Matthew chapter 10, in the very first verse, it said, when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease, of sickness and all manner of disease. Judas could heal you. He could lay his hands on you, pray for you, heal you. He had the same thing that the other 11 had. There's no difference. In fact, when Jesus said at the Last Supper, one of you is going to betray me, nobody said, I bet it's Judas. In fact, what they said was, is it I, Lord? They didn't trust, they trusted him more than some of them did their own selves. He has got everything going for him. Some people ask, why would Jesus let Judas so close if he's going to betray him? Well, one, he gave him every opportunity. Jesus does that. There's a very special group of guys in my life that we played on the best football team that this school ever had long time ago. And one of those guys died this week. And he was one of those guys that we could never reach with the gospel. Last May, we were all together. He was there and did not tell us about some of the problems that he had. But it is so sad because there'll be no service. There'll be no memorial. There'll be nothing to remember him by. That's the way he wanted it. See, because he didn't believe in hell. And if you got that kind of belief, nothing else matters, does it? If that were true, what difference would it make? One of the guys that came with him, in fact, they both went to the same high school. He called me this week. He said, Leland, we've been friends for 70 years. 70 years we've been friends. And he said, my Robert never did anything real bad. He said he was always kind of on the borderline. But he said, it's hard for me to leave. And in fact, he'd made the trip. He only lived a few miles from him, or did, made the trip to go talk to him again about his soul. The guy was in the investment business, made a lot of money, did things right, never went to prison, never got in trouble, ra-di-da-di-da, all those things you're supposed to do, paid his American Express bill, kept his yard mowed, all those type of things. But had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And he's had every opportunity. People in America have every opportunity to be saved. That's why there can be no excuse. Judas Iscariot, for 3.5 years, walked with God in the flesh and ended up betraying him. Who would want to betray someone who never hurt anybody, only healed people? Who never made anybody sick, he healed the sick. Who never maimed anybody, he healed the maimed. He fed the 5,000. He did all the things you're supposed to do. And he said, how much will you give me if I'll turn him over to you? I'll put him in your hands. You really want him? How much are you going to give me? Judas Iscariot had no excuses. You and I have no excuses. Now let's go to the other end of that pendulum and let's see how God saw Judas. In Luke 6:16, he saw him as a traitor. This was before he ever betrayed him. Early in the ministry. And he said he's a traitor. God saw the heart. Jesus Christ himself said, one of you is a devil. Talking about Judas Iscariot. In that high priestly prayer, the real Lord's Prayer in John 17, Jesus called him the son of perdition. When he was praying, he said, Lord, I've lost none of them. I've kept every one that you gave me, except the son of perdition, because I never had him. Jesus said in Mark that it's better if Judas had never been born. Let me tell you something, guys and gals. That statement can be made about me and you if we miss heaven. You know that? Goodness, if we go through this life, whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, if we go through this life and miss heaven, it'd be better for us to never have been born. Hey. And that's what he said about Judas. Be good if he'd never been born. What did Judas do to put him in this type of position? We started out reading, he sold out Christ for money. People still doing that. People still doing that. Or some sell it out for less than money. Something else is more important than Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, you need to take a long, honest look at yourself. I remember an old gentleman told me right before I moved to Odessa, Texas. He said, Leland, it's bad enough for you to lie to everybody else, but it's really pathetic when you lie to yourself. Are you lying to yourself? See, Robert was lying to himself when he said there is no hell. Even Judas is going to realize that. We'll see in a moment. Notice something there in Matthew 27:3. Said, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned. And it's not that he saw himself being condemned, because he's not condemned here. When he saw Jesus was condemned, he didn't realize. I don't think Judas ever realized when he sold them that they really wanted to kill him. I think he thought they just wanted to quieten Jesus down. They wanted to stop him. They might imprison him. They might put him in ISF, but not kill him. And when he saw that they were going to kill him, it said he repented himself. When he realized that, I never thought he'd go this far. And most of us in this room tonight have made that same statement in our lives. I never thought he'd come to this. See, I never thought that he'd come to an abortion. I never thought he'd come to homosexuality. I never thought he'd come to prison. I never thought he'd come to put me in this situation. I never thought I'd do this. and said he repented himself. And haven't we done that 100 times? Paul talked about repentance toward God. This is just he repented himself. How many times you quit? Folks say, Leland, did you have a hard time quitting drinking? No, quit every day. Yeah. For a while, I quit until the neons come on. I used to think there was healing power in neons. When the neon sign come on. But you know what I found out? I found out they come on 11 o'clock in the morning in the bars. They'll be on at 11 o'clock. It's as dark in there at 11 o'clock in the morning as it is 11 o'clock at night. Neons are on. We quit this, we quit that. Our kids got our CPS got our kids. We're ducking and dodging now because they're going to get us for not paying child support. We got things pending. We said we'd never be a hypocrite, and we are. Over and over and over. He repented himself. I'm going to stop. Tried to correct himself. That's what he's trying to do. We're trying to correct it ourselves. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to give them the money back. Notice, that's what he tried to do. He repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to Jesus. Here, you take the money back. I want to wash my hands of this. I've decided not to be a part of it. And they said, no way, Judas. And he threw the money at their feet, it says. Notice he said, I've sinned that I've betrayed the innocent blood. He knew he'd sinned. This is not something that he didn't know. This is, well, I didn't quite understand. I didn't realize. He didn't realize it'd come this far and go to these extremes. But when he did, he knew what he'd done wrong. But he didn't repent toward God. How many times have we quit and started over? How many times, like Judas, we repented ourselves. He said, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we do, because we've never turned it over to God. We're still fighting it. Notice Judas did not run to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this is all my fault. I am sorry. I beg you to forgive me for betraying you. I did it. You know what? If he'd have done that, Jesus would have said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what to do. Nobody's ever run to him and said, please, I'm sorry, forgive me. Just as he thought he could handle it one way, he tried to handle it by himself the other way. And he said to them, he's talking to the Pharisees, I betrayed innocent blood. It's good to hear you testify, brother, but you're talking to the wrong one. You need to talk to somebody that can cleanse your sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. Then take it to the one that can cleanse them. Take it to the one that can erase your past clean with the blood of his son. I betrayed innocent blood. And notice this. Not only did he repent himself, but then he went out and hanged himself. Verse 5, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, threw them down. The money they paid him to betray Jesus. And went out and hanged himself. Do you know that every atheist knows that sin ought to be punished? Every man, that's why we have laws. There's not a country in the world that doesn't have some kind of law. They have to have laws because they know that man will just be worse than animals to one another. He hanged himself. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 25, They said he went to his own place. I want you to listen to this. Judas Iscariot went to his own place. We talked about, I mentioned hell a while ago. Do you realize that if you go to hell, God didn't prepare hell for man. God prepared one thing for man. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. For not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. But the men who rejected him, the only place for them to go is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus Christ said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. One chapter before we read in chapter 26. That's what hell's for. If you go there, you're going to be in, it's not going to be a place you're going to like because you're in a foreign land. It wasn't prepared for you. But the Bible talked about the rich man who lift up his eyes in hell. He's there. It's reality. And it was hot. And it was dry. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my parching tongue. Can I just have a drop of water? Just one. And then he said, send somebody to tell my brothers. Send somebody to tell my family about this place. Send somebody so they won't come here. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They got the Bible. And he said, well, that won't do it. But if somebody rose from the dead, that would do it. But it hasn't, has it? Because this same Jesus, Judas hangs himself, and then they hang Jesus on a cross and crucify him. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And for 2,000 years, we've known that. And yet, we still have people who'd rather hang themselves than face him. Though one rose from the dead, people still refuse to believe. He could have gone to Jesus. He hung himself. And because he was the devil, he went to the own place, hell. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. We've heard through a very important story in the Bible. But it's one that maybe you saw yourself time and again as we talked about Judas and the things that transpired in his life. How many offers, how many opportunities have you had to trust this Jesus? Think of all the opportunities he had for 3.5 years, but maybe you've had more than 3.5 years. You've never trusted him. He's given you a chance tonight. You can repent yourself and say, I'm going to quit this. Or you can repent toward God and say, Father, I turn it over to you. I trust Christ as my Lord and Savior tonight. And I turn everything over to you. I'm going to give you that opportunity in a moment to come. Maybe you've repented yourself over and over. You've quit 100 times. Some habit that lingers on. You want to really get it right and turn it over to the Lord. Jesus told a woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Just stop. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts, everybody here tonight. We have no magic words. But Father, I pray that tonight your Holy Spirit will touch hearts, that men and women who are not saved, who at this moment don't have a hope for heaven, all they have is a destiny for hell. Father, I pray that you touch them and break their heart tonight. They'd be saved and on their way to heaven. Father, pray for those that are Christians that have just dabbled around with you week in, week out, year in, year out, that tonight they'd get real and stop repenting themselves and start repenting toward you and let you run our lives. Father, we ask that you take control of this time. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I want you to come on the very first verse and say, "I come to trust Christ." Or maybe you're a Christian and you just need to come to this altar and quit repenting yourself and start turning it over to God. Brother Charles sings, would you come right now? Just as I am, without one plea. Come on, come on. What would God have you to do? Come on. You have another chance tonight. You've had others before this. You know you have. What are you going to do tonight? Come on. Come on. Someone else. Come on. Just as I am, come right on. Do what God wants you to do right now. Gonna sing one more verse. No one comes. We're closing it out. One verse. Just as I am. With many of fears, many of doubt, would you just turn it over to him? Turn it over so that he can handle it. Dismissed just in a moment. Let me remind you that on that front table, it's a pamphlet called "What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now?" If you're were saved tonight, or if you've been saved and not sure of it, pick up one of those in the quietness of your own home. Sit down with your Bible. Make sure. Don't gamble on that. Don't take chances on heaven. It's not the lottery. You can know that you know that you know. Take that. Anything else on that table that you need, we want you to have it. Our Father, thank you tonight for those that came. You and them know what the result was. Father, also, there's some that should be here that didn't come. Now, maybe it was pride. Maybe it was non-concern. Maybe it was they could care less. Whatever the case may be, Father, I pray you'd give them one more opportunity. Give them another chance. Help us to pray as Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. So help them. Thank you for those that were here. Bless those that came. May we all leave with a blessing that you're sweeter to us than you've ever been. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshments are open.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.